Today's daf is Menachos Daf Tzadi Ches. We left off about 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis. We are at V'chitei Mashis Minayhu, I believe is where we left off. So we were in the middle of discussing the measurements of the Mizbeach, because there's a pasuk in Yecheskel that seemed to indicate that some of the measure, at least some of, if not all of the measurements of the Mizbeach, were measured by Amos that were only 5 Tefach Amos and not 6 Tefach Amos. So we're trying to figure out the Cheshbon of how that works out, because we also have a brisa that says that when the Kohen was doing the Olas Ha'ov and he had to squeeze out the blood on the top half of the Mizbeach, that when he's standing on the Sovev, he has up until an Amma below where his feet are to still be on the top half of the Mizbeach, that will still be on top of the Chuta Sikra. So we're trying to reconcile that with the idea that the Amos that we're talking about were 5 Tefach Amos. So far we had 2 suggestions of exactly how to measure the Amos of the Mizbeach, particularly the Amos of the height of the Mizbeach, and which measurements are measured by 5 Tefach Amos. Today we're going to finish up the second possibility and go on to a third possibility of how to do those measurements. And then the Gemara is going to move on to discuss what exactly the different measuring Amos were. When we say that there was such a thing as an Amma Beinonis, whenever you say that there's an in-between one, that implies, meaning an average one, a middle one, that implies that there's not only a larger one, but that there's also a smaller one. So what exactly are the, which Amma is the Amma Beinonis, and what are the 3 levels of Amma when it comes to measuring different things in the Mikdash? The Gemara is going to discuss also this notion, because it's going to come up, of an image of Shushan Habira that existed in the Beis HaMikdash, because that was the room that they kept the Amos in. So we're going to discuss why it is that they had an image at all of Shushan Habira in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's going to lead us to a very brief discussion about Emas HaMalchus, that a person has to have a certain fear of the government. And the Gemara is also going to discuss the source for the number of the Ma'arachos on the Shulchan. Why is it that it's 2 rows of 6 loaves? How do we know that? And the Torah gives 3 specific details about how many loaves of bread and how they're arranged on the Shulchan. Why are 3 details necessary? What would we have thought had the Torah only given 2 of the details that it gives? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the arrangement of the different kelim in the Mikdash, how they were set up, because we had already mentioned yesterday that that typically things were arranged la'orchan, along the length of the length of the kli was along the length of the Mikdash. So we're going to discuss how everything was arranged in terms of all the kelim, in terms of the menorah, in terms of the shulchan, and we're going to mention, and by the way, there were also 10 shulchanos in the Mikdash, not just 1 shulchan, and there were 10 menorahs that Shlomo HaMelech had made, and we're going to discuss how they were, how all of those things were arranged in the Mikdash. So let's begin again, 7 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, and we were in the middle of discussing what exactly Chek HaAma, Amma Rochav, Gvula Al Sfas HaSaviv, these phrases in the Pasuk in Yecheskel are referring to. What exactly were 5 Tefach Amos, and what were larger than 5 Tefach Amos? So we had suggested, the second suggestion that we're working on right now, was that Chek HaAma is the Knisa. That's not the height of the Yesod, but the width of the Yesod that was only 5 Tefachim, but the height of the Yesod was in fact 6 Tefachim. Amma Rochav is also Knisa. The Sovev, not the height of it, but the width of the Sovev, is also only an Amma of 5 Tefachim. And then Gvula Al Sfas HaSaviv was also Knisa, that the width of the Kronos HaMizbeach, the little pieces of the corner pieces on the top of the Mizbeach, was 5 Tefachim, but in fact their height was 6 Tefachim. So we said, if that's the case, all 10 Amos of the height of the Mizbeach are 6 Tefach Amos, which means that there are 60 Tefachim of height on the Mizbeach, and the midpoint mark is 30 Tefachim below that. But what that also means is that the Mizbeach, which we said is really 32 Amos wide, is in fact less than 32 Amos wide, because 3 of those Amos, which is actually 6 of those Amos, because 3 on each side, are really only 5 Tefachim. And that math doesn't seem to work out, because we had mentioned that the Pasuk also indicates to us in Yecheskel that there were 24 Amos by 24 amos of the Makom HaMa'aracha, where the Kohanim couldn't walk, where they just had the fires on top of the Mizbech, and that only works out if the Mizbech was in fact 32 real amos. So says Gemara now, v'chi tema shis minayim me'ikara ba'ama bas chamisha ma'isilu. Maybe when we said 32 amos, six of those 32 amos that the Mishnah had mentioned of the width of the entire Mizbech, six of those amos were really amos ketanos, were really five tefach amos. So it's not that the Mizbech was any less than 32 amos, meaning it was really 31 amos, but we call it 32 because it is 26 six tefach amos and six five tefach amos. So it would have been the equivalent of 31 six tefach amos. So im kein Rav Chalazar, but the problem with saying that is that yes, now you've reconciled all the measurements of the Mizbech itself, but how do you make that work with the actual space that it took up in the Azara? Ditnan, because the Mishnah in the fifth parak of Midos tells us, Kol Azara isa orech mea ushmonim v'sheva al roch of mea ushloshim v'chamesh, that the Azara is 187 amos long by 135 amos wide. Oh, the other way around, actually. So so going through the length, mimizrach lemarav mea shmonim v'sheva. Yeah. So the length from east to west is 187 amos. And how did those 187 amos get divided? Makom drisos ragli Yisrael achas esrayama. The easternmost 11 amos, that's where the ragli Yisrael, that's where the Israelim were allowed to go. Makom drisos ragli akohanim achas esrayama. Then you add the next 11 amos, which was the ragli drisos Kohanim. We call that Ragli Drisa Kohanim because that's the place where the Kohanim are allowed to go, even if they have no need to be there. Meaning Kohanim are allowed to go further than that. This is not the innermost part where the Kohanim are allowed to go, but they're allowed to just go hang out there, even if they don't have an actual requirement to be there. So that's why we call it Makom Drisas Ragli HaKohanim. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Lo Sasei Samach Tes, explains even further that a Kohen Bal Mum is not allowed to go connected the Mizbech. So it's Makom Drisas Ragli HaKohanim, regardless of what kind of Kohen you are. That even if you're a Kohen Bal Mum, you're allowed to go to this spot. Okay, so now we've accounted for 22 Amos. Beyond that, a Mizbeach, right after that is a Mizbeach, Shlosh Mushtayim, is 32 Amos. Bein Ulam Bala Mizbeach, Esther Mushtayim Amos. Between the Ulam and the Mizbeach is another 22 Amos. So far we're at 76 Amos. Hahechal, from the Ulam until the end of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is Mea Amma, is 100 Amos. So now we're at 176 Amos. V'achas Esrei Amma, Achorei Beis HaKaporas. And then behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, until the other edge of the western edge of the Azara, is another 11 Amos. And that's how we get to 187 Amos. Now, what's our problem? Included in those 187 Amos are 32 Amos for the Mizbeach, but if we're going to say that the Mizbeach, we call it 32, but it was really 31 because six of those 32 Amos are only five Tefach Amos, it messes up our whole Cheshbon in the Azara. Then we should only have 186 Amos of space taken up in the Azara. So the Gemara says, okay, we need a third possibility, a third understanding of what exactly the measurement of the Mizbeach was. Ela Cheik Ha'ama, when we said that we measure the Yisod of the Mizbeach as a five Tefach Amma, Bikova. It's not talking about the width of the Yisod, it's the height of the Yisod, which means that bottom Amma of the Mizbeach, that bottom Yisod of the Mizbeach, is only five Tefachim tall. Amma Rochav, when we said that we measure the Sovev as a five Tefach Amma, Knisa, that is actually width. That is not height, that is the width of the Sovev. So you go five tvachim off the ground, that's the Yisod, and then another five amos of six tvachim each off the ground, and you hit the Sovev, but the Sovev only goes in five tvachim. So then, Gvula El Svasa Saviv, when we measure the Amos of the Kronos, that's five Tfachim tall, Loshnachi Vloshnachi, and it makes no difference whether they're five Tfachim wide, whether they're six, or they were six Tfachim wide. The Cheshbon is going to work out either way. And the Braisa tells us that if they would, the Braisa that said that if the Kohen would squeeze the Dama Ola up until one Amma below the Sovev where he's standing, he's going to still be on the top half of the Mizbeach. Works out beautifully. Because Mizbeach Kamahavi, how many Tfachim tall is the Mizbeach right now? So the two possibilities we had before was that the Mizbeach was either entirely in five Tefach Hamos or entirely in six Tefach Hamos. The Gemara says, no, maybe something in between, because the lowest Amma of the Mizbeach was a five Tefach Hamma. The top Amma of the Mizbeach was a five Tefach Hamma. Everything in between was a six Tefach Amma. The eight Amos in between were six Tefach Amos. So 8 times 6 is 48, plus 2 times 5 is 10, that's 58. So the entire height of the Mizbeach was Chamish Mutmanya, was actually 58 Tefachim. Palgi de Mizbeach Kamahavi, where was the midpoint of the Mizbeach? Esr Metisha. So you divide 58 by 2, and it's 29 Amos is the midpoint of the Mizbeach. Mikronos Yat Sovev Kamahavi, from the very top of the Mizbeach until the Sovev, how many Amos down is that? How many Tfachim down is that, rather? Esr Nitzlas, it's 23 Tfachim down, because the three Amos of the Mizbeach that are six Tefach Amos, and the Amma of the Kronos, which is a five Tefach Amma, so 6 times 3 is 18, plus that one Amma of the Kronos, which is a five Tefach Amma, that's 23 Tefachim down. So that's where the Kohen's feet were, 23 Tefachim down. Now he still has up until 29 Tefachim down to squeeze the blood of an Ola. That gives him exactly 6 Tefachim of leeway below where his feet are. Kama batzel palgit mizbech, shisa, utran, masal, lamata miraglav, afilu amma achas ksheira, and that fits beautifully with what the Bryce had said, that he has up until one Amma below where his feet stand in order to squeeze out the blood of the Ola. And Deka Nami, it's Meduyik this way in the Pesukim, because the Pasuk that we learn in Yecheskel, the Amos Ketanos, says Cheka Amma va'Amma Rochav. So it's changed its language between these two Amos. The Amma of the Yesoda called Chek, the Amma of the Sovev called Rochav. That teaches us that the Amma of the Yesod, being a five Tefach Amma, was the height, whereas the Sovev, when we called it a five Tefach Amma, was not the height, but was the width. So Shema Mina, so that we can actually prove from the Pasuk that it's not uniform. Even though we said that there are five Tefach Amos on the Yesod and on the Sovev and on the Kronos, they're not all about height, nor are they all about width. The bottom one, top one, are about height, and the middle one was about width. Okay, now the Gemara goes to explain the different measuring sticks that they had. So, v'kama amma beninis, amma b'yochan shisha tfachim. When we call something an amma beninis, an average amma, how much is that? That's a six tefach amma. Amma b'yosib rav nafan anami tanina. We have a Mishnah that says this way. Our Mishnah, Rameir Omer, Hashulchan Orko Shnei Masar V'Rachvo Shisha, that the Shulchan was 12 Tfachim long and 6 Tfachim wide. And the Torah calls it Amasayim Orko V'Amarachbo, that it's two Amos by one Amma. Ah, very good. So you see, the math works out that an Amma is 6 Tfachim. So that's an Amma Beninus. Wow, so the Mechal Davi Amma Dinefishimina. You know, if there were only two Amos, there were the 5 Tefach Amma and the 6 Tefach Amma, you'd call the 5 Tefach Amma the little one and the 6 Tefach Amma the big one. But no, we call the sixth Tefach Amma the Amma Beninus. That implies that there is some other Amma that is in fact larger than the sixth Tefach Amma. Says Marin, that's exactly right. We do find such a thing. Vatanan, because the Mishnah says in the 17th parak of Maseches Kelim, Shtei Amos Hayu B'Shushan Abira. There were two measuring sticks of an Amma in Shushan Abira. Shushan Abira was a room that was above the eastern gate of the Azara, at least according to most, it was the eastern gate of the Azara, not the eastern gate of Har Abayis. Even though the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah Maseches Midos, makes it sound like it was by Har Abayis, not by the Azara. All the Rishonim over here assume that it was a gate of the Azara. So Achas and so they had these two Amos that were in that location of the Beis Hamikdash. Achas al Keren Mizrachas Tzvonis, and one was by the northeastern corner of Shushan Abira, V'achas al Keren Mizrachas Dromis, one by the southeastern corner of Shushan Abira, Shal Keren Mizrachas Tzvonis, Yisera al Shalmosha Chatzi Etzba. The one in the northeastern side was larger than the regular six tefach ama that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai to measure with by a half an etzba. Shal Keren Mizrachas Dromis, I see Seira Lea Chatzi Etzba, and the one that was in the southeastern side was larger than the one in the northeastern side by a chatzi etzba, which means nimtzei siseir al shel Moshe etzba, that it was a full etzba larger than the regular amma that Moshe Rabbeinu used. So we were only looking for one amma that was larger than the sixth tefach amma, because the sixth tefach amma was supposed to be an amma beinus. What we turned up is that there were two ammas that were both larger than the sixth tefach amma by very, very slight measurements, by an etzba and then another etzba. V'lomar amrachas gadol. Why do they need these two large amos, and the regular amma of Moshe? Why wasn't it enough to just have one measuring? In any system in the world that's used for measuring, we usually have a uniform standard, right? That's why it works, because a foot is a foot, no matter, and a yard is a yard, and a meter is a meter, and that. So why is it that we have these different measuring systems, these different measuring sticks within the same amma? Kadeshu umanin notlin b'katano umachzirin b'gedola. This was to make sure the Beis HaMikdash never got cheated, because those who did the malach on the Beis HaMikdash would make their deal with the Gizbar when they would arrange to do the work for the cost of materials and the work for each amma, measuring with a smaller amma, which was the amma of Moshe Rabbeinu, and when they came back to be machzir and they did the malacha, it was bigadola. They provided bigadola a little bit extra. They would get their payment, so it was considered as kadesh leyavoli de mi'ila, so that they don't come to actually get anything extra from hegdish. If they would use the same amma, sometimes they might make a mistake of a kolshu who in the measurements, and they're going to get paid a little bit more than what they really deserve, and that's normally, okay, maybe it could be mocha a little bit, but when you're dealing with hegdish, it's a situation, it's a chashash me'ila, so we wanted to leave some room for error in how people got paid in the mikdash. V'tarti lamali, why did they have two amos that were both larger than the amma of Moshe Rabbeinu? All you needed was one that was slightly larger to create, figure out what your margin for error is, and make that. Why do you need two of them? Says Gemara, Chada l'kasbav dava, Chada l'binyana. The one that was a half an etzba larger than Moshe Rabbeinu, it was just slightly, incrementally larger than the amma of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was for the measuring of silver and gold, because every tiny additional measurement is going to make a huge difference in money. So we can't just go with the largest differential and count that for everything, because you're talking about silver and gold, it's going to make a huge difference in money. But the one that was an etzba, full etzba, different than Moshe Rabbeinu, that was for the building materials, that was for stones and things like that, where such a slight incremental change is not going to make such a big difference. So they were able to give a little bit more leeway of an etzba. So now the Gemara brings that we had mentioned this idea of Shushan Abira in the Beis HaMikdash. So Tanan Hasam, it's a Mishnah Maseches Midos. Shara Mizrach, Alav Shushan Abira Tzura. On the Shara Mizrach, there was a tziur, there was an image that of Shushan Abira. So my time, why would they have an image of Shushan Abira? It's nice when we're in Galus that we have the images of Yerushalayim to remind us of Yerushalayim, but why, Dafka, when you're not in Galus, when you're in the Mikdash, would you want to remember the Galus? Would you want to remember Shushan Abira? So two possibilities. Rav Chisar Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Chad Amar Kadesh Shiedu Meheichan Ba'u. You need to know where you came from to get to Yerushalayim, and you should have Hodah Takarosh Baruch Hu, that's where you came from, that we were able to experience a sense of Geula. The Chad Amar Kadesh Shitei Emas Malchus Aleihen. The other says no, they weren't really running their own government, so they had to have a proper Emas Malchus, and that's why they had the image of Shushan Abira. Why is Amos Malchus so important? So Amr Bianai, Lo'olam te Amos Malchus Alecha, a person should always have a certain Ema, a certain fear of the Malchus, Shenemar, because when Moshe says to Paro what was going to happen by Makas Bechoros, he says, V'yardu kol avdecha ele elai, v'shtachvu l'leimar, all your avadim are going to come, and they're going to bow to me, and they're going to say, Tzei atav v'cholam Hashem raglecha, they're going to try to throw me out, v'lididei lo kamerle. But even in that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu Rebbeinu did not say to Paro that you are going to come bowing to me and begging me to leave. Why didn't he say that? Because you have to have kavod for the malchus. You have to act in a certain way of kavod for the malchus. A person has to be careful about that, that regardless of what their personal opinions are of the malchus, that we've had much worse, whatever our opinions are, and we've always had kavod for the malchus. That's something that's a Jewish value, that we always have to have a certain kavod for the malchus. Rabbi Yochanan says, we learn from the following, Shenemar, the pasuk says, after the fire comes down to Eliyahu and Har Carmel, and the Shechita, the Nevi Habal, it says, V'yad Hashem Hoysel Eliyahu, V'yishanis Masnav, V'yoretz Lefnei Achav, Ad Boach Yisraela. That was where the malchus of Achav was, and he did this in order to show kavod for the malchus. So again, this we emphasize the value of kavod for the malchus. So now we mention another machlokus between Rav Chisson and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. The pasuk describes the trees that are going to grow by the stream that emerges from the Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi. The pasuk in the Navi Yecheskel describes, as we've been talking about, what the third Beis Hamikdash is going to look like, and it's going to be like this paradise. You know, there's going to be a stream that emanates, and alongside the stream there are going to be trees that are growing all sorts of delicious fruits. The pasuk describes all of these things, and it says, "Mizek haleitz machol lo yibal aleyu lo yitam piru lechadashav yivaker ki meimav min amikdash heima yotzim veyipiru lemachol." Then it says, "Valel litrufa," that its alim, its leaves are going to be litrufa. So what does that mean, litrufa? It sounds like it's some sort of medication, but trufa is also nutrikun. It's heter peh. It's going to be matir, one of our mouths, untie one of our mouths. What does that mean? So Rav Chisson Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, chad amar lahatir pesha lemaila. It means that people who are unable to speak, their mouths will be open and they'll be able to speak. The pesha lemaila, meaning the normal peh, what we refer to as a mouth. The chad amar lahatir pesha shalamata. No, it's speaking b'lashon nekiya, to be matir the pesha lemata, that it's going to open the rechem of akaros, that women who previously were unable to have children are now going to be able to have children. Itmar Chizki Amar Lahatir Pe Ilmim, Bar Kapara Amar Lahatir Pe Akaros. And more directly, in the Beis Medrash, it was reported that it was when Chizki and Bar Kapara had this machlokas, they said it straight out. They didn't call it Pesha Lamala, Pesha Lamata. One says that it's going to take care of the mute, the people who are mute. The other says it's going to take care of the people who are unable to have children. Okay, so now we're going to get to how the Lechem Apanim was arranged on the Shulchan. So we have a brisa that tries to go through all of the descriptions the Torah has of the arrangement of the lechem on the shulchan. Just to know the psukim, the pasuk says, "V'lakachta soles v'afisos ashtemes rechalos shnei astronomia chala achas." So what do we have? 12 chalos, and then v'santo sam. How do you place them? Shtayim arachos, two arrangements, sheish amarechs al shulchan, of 6 each. So 3 details were given, that there are 12 chalos, that there are 2 piles, and that there are 6 in each pile. So Ilan Emer, so the Bryce is going to discuss, why do I need all 3 of those details? Couldn't I have figured it out, even if you only gave me 2 of those details? So Ilan Emer, v'lakach v'solos v'fisos v'shtemes v'chalos v'samtos v'mshtayim arachos v'lonem arsheish. If it wouldn't have told me how many chalos were in each pile, you just would have told me there are 2 piles, and there are 12 chalos. No, so couldn't I figure out the math? I couldn't figure out that it's 6 in each one? No, I couldn't. Because Yisi Omer, I would have said, Achas shel arba v'achas shel shmona, that one of the piles has 4 chalos in it, and one of the piles has 8 chalos in it. Why would I have thought that? Meaning, if you tell me that there are 12 chalos, and that there are 2 piles, isn't the most natural thing to think that there are 6 in each? So Tosa says, no, all we mean to say is that it could have been any, you could have divided it up any way you wanted, even 4 and 8, or 5 and 7, anyway way that you would have wanted to divide it up, I would have thought would be a viable way to divide it. That's not that I would have thought that a dafka has to be that way, but I just would have thought it's not ma'akev, that however you want to divide it up is fine. Lekach nemar sheish, that's why it has to say sheish, that there's a requirement that there will be only 6 in each pile. V'ilin nemar shteim ha'arach sheish ha'mareches, v'lo nemar shteim ha'srei, and if it never would have mentioned that there are 12 chalos total, and it would have just told me 2 rows of 6 each, ha'yisi yomar shalosh shel sheish sheish, I would have thought that you could put 3 piles of 6 each, because shtayim arachos and shesha marachas are actually referring to 3 different piles. Shtayim arachos, there are 2 piles, plus Sheshama Reches. I would have thought that plus a third pile, that's also six high. So the Kachnemer Shtemesre, that's why it has to tell me 12. Vilu Nemer Shtemesre Chalos, Umarachos, Velo Nemer Shtayim, if it only would have told me that there are 12 Chalos and it wouldn't have said that there are two rows, and Vishesh, and Ahisi Omer Shlosh, and it wouldn't have told me that there are that there are six in each row. Hayisi Omer Shlosh Shel Arba Arba. I would assume that there could be three rows of four each. Lekach Nemer Shtayim V'Sheish. That's why it has to tell me that there are two rows and there are two piles, and each one has six in it. Ha'ad Shloyam Shlosh Mekros Halol. So without all three of these psukim of Shteimesh Rechalos Shtayim Arachos Sheish Amareches, Lo Lamanu, I never would have known how to arrange the bread on the shulchan, how to arrange lechem upon him on the shulchan. Haketzad. So how do you do it? Nosin shtayim arachos al sheish sheish v'im nosin achas al arba achas al arba v'achas al shmona lo yatsa. And if your ratio is off, you don't have six and six, but you have four and eight, you're not yotze yuchiv even b'di'evet. Shtayim shal sheva sheva. What if you make some extra lechem upon him? So you just make two piles of seven each. So Rebbe Omer. Rowan es Eliona kilu eina. It's fine, and you pretend the top loaf is not there, and you have two rows of six, meaning it's not going to passel it. I vabi inan v'nasata al, but doesn't the pasuk say that you need on the mareches levona zaka, that you put the bezicha levona on top of the mareches? So isn't there a din that it's got to be on top of the last challah that actually counts in the mareches? So where are you going to put the bezicha levona if your piles are seven chalos high or seven lechem upanim's high? So amalei Rav Chisda Rav Amnuna va'amila Rav Amnuna Rav Chisda Rebbe l'tamei damar al besamuch. No, this is Rebbe l'shita. So Rebbe held that you don't put the bezicha levona on the pile, you put the bezicha levona next to the pile. Because remember, Rebbe held that there was space in between where you're able to put the bezicha levona. And therefore, if you have seven lechem upanim's high in each pile, it's not going to passel because it's not going to ruin the placement of the bezicha levona. Detanya, Rebbe Yomer, Minasat al Merechas, levona zaka, al besamuch. Ata Omer al besamuch, you sure al means nearby? Or you know al mamish, maybe al means literally on. Kishu Omer, besakosa Allah Aron Esa Paroches. Have you al besamuch? When it says that the Paroches was al ha'aron, the Paroches was not al ha'aron in the Mikdash. We're going to discuss soon. The Paroches was near the Aron in the Mikdash. It separated from the Kodesh to the Kodesh HaKadashim, but it was not al ha'aron. So you see that the word al in the Torah sometimes means besamuch. It doesn't mean literally on. Then we said kolakim shav Mikdash. All the kelim of the Mikdash went lengthwise. The length of the kelim went across the length of the Mikdash, were arranged by the length of the Mikdash. So we're going to discuss some of those details. Tan Rabban, kolakim shav Mikdash arkon la arko shal bayis chutz me aron sharko l'rochba shal bayis. The only exception was the aron, where the aron's length went across the width of the bayis from the north south, which we consider width. East west we consider the length of the Beis HaMikdash. And here's how the Aron, that's how the Aron was placed, Dafka north-south, and that's how the Badim were placed. So my Kamar, what does that mean, that that's how the Aron was placed, that's how the Badim were placed? Hachi Kamar, what it means to say is as follows, that the Aron was placed north-south, how do I know the Aron had to have been north-south? From the fact that the Badim were not north-south, that the Badim were east-west, were across the length of the bayis. So since the Badim were on the wide side of the Aron, and were across the width of the Aron, not the length of the Aron, so that's so if the Badim were going east-west, then the length of the Aron must have been going north-south. Ubadim minalan, how do I know that the Badim had to necessarily be going east-west? That we know to Tanya, because there's a Braisa that discusses the Aron and the Badim, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and when Shlomo HaMelech was Mechanech, the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pasuk says, Vaya'arichu Abadim. The Pasuk used such an expression. So Yachal, you might have thought that they were long, but lo hayu nogin baparoches. They weren't so long that they would actually touch the paroches, tamalomar v'yerau, that's why the pasuk says, and the pasuk continues, v'yerau rashi abadim in a kodesh al tanei advir, that from the kodesh you could see the rashi abadim, you could see the badim sticking out. So clearly they were protruding out of the kodesh kodashim, which meant they had to have been running east-west in order to be sticking through the paroches. And if you only had the pasuk tells me that they were visible, yachliu makarim b'paroches v'yotzin, I might have thought that they poked two holes in the paroches so that the badim could stick out of the two holes. Tamalomar v'lo yirau. That's why the hachutza. That's why the pasuk says no. You couldn't actually see the badim from the heichal. So haketzad. So how does that work? They're able to be seen. They're not able to be seen. What exactly is the story with the badim? Dochkinu bolten b'paroches. They were sticking out from behind the paroches, meaning you couldn't see them. They weren't sticking through the paroches, but they were pushing the paroches a little bit. So you saw these protrusions in the paroches. Domek min shnei dadei isha, like two breasts of a woman. Shenemar tsror amor dodi li bein shaddai yolin. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the dodi, who is the beloved, is mashre shchina between the two dadim of the aron that protrude in the paroches. Like shtei isha, and that way we fulfill all the psukim that yes, you were not able to actually see the badim, but you were able to see that they were there because they were sticking through. So that's how you know that the badim were running east west. And if the badim were running east west, it had to be that the aron ran north south. So the badim leputi daron aviyasi. Who told you? Who said that the badim had to go along the width of the aron? Maybe the badim ran along the length of the aron. Dilmala arko daron aviyasi. Some review the trei gavri badim sopalga lo mistagi lehu. No, because we know that when they would carry the aron, there were four people carrying the aron, two on each side by the badim, and they stood inside the badim. Meaning, you would think if you're carrying something by a pole, if the kli that you're carrying is here and the badim are running alongside, that you would stand outside of the kli. You would stand, right? But no, they would stand on the inside. So if all they had was an amma and a half in between the badim, because the badim were running along the 2.5 amma length, and all they had was an amma and a half, it meant you needed two people side by side within that amma and a half. And this we already know from Masechta Sukkah, that how much space does a person take up? The space of a person is an amma. A person takes up an amma. That's why the minimum size of Sukkah, Machlokes Rishonim, Beis Hillel, and Rebbe, whether it's Vav Tvachim, that's if you assume you need a person, the size of a person. Zayin al Zayin Tvachim, Rosh of Rubo, Vishulchano, or Abba Amar Sal, Abba Amos, has nothing to do with the size of a person. But you see that six Tvachim is the size of a person, and amma is the size of a person. So if the badim were running along the length of the Aron, and that only left 1.5 amma in between the badim, there's no way two people who both had to carry the aron would be able to fit in that tiny space. Okay, but how do you know that four people were carrying the aron? So it says Dichsiv, because the pasuk says when it talks about the masaos in the midbar, v'nasu ha-kahasim, that the kahasim who were the nosei migdash carried, and it says trei, so that already implies it's a lashon rabim. So whenever somebody the Lashon Rabbim and it doesn't give a precise number, that always is assumed to be two, the smallest Lashon Rabbim we could have. No say Hamigdash, again B'Lashon Rabbim, Nami Trei, tells us about another two people. So you see that the Nesiyas Ha'aron was done Dafka with four Levim, two in the front, two in the back, and Mimele, you have to say that the Badim were placed along the length of the width of the Aron, so that the people could fit along the length of the Aron. So the Badim were along the length of the Migdash, the east-west of the Migdash, whereas the Aron itself was flipped the other way, was along north-south of the Migdash. So that's how the Aron was situated, and that's why all of the other Kelim, the Gemara said, all of the other Kelim ran along the length of the Migdash east-west, except for the Aron, which ran north-south. So the Gemara brings a Braisa that explains the number of Shulchanos and how they were arranged in the Migdash. Tanu Rabbanan, Asaru Shulchanos Asa Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech made 10 Shulchanos aside from the Shulchan that Moshe Rabbeinu had made. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, when it talks about the Shlomo HaMelech's Beis Hamikdash in Divrei Yamim, it says Vayas Shulchanos Asara Vayanach Beheichal Chamishim Yamin VeChamishim Yismol. He made 10 Shulchanos in the Heichal, 5 on the right, 5 on the left. So what does that mean? 5 on the right, 5 on the left. Bim Tomer Chamishim Yamin HaPesach VeChamishim Yismol HaPesach. That 5 were on the right side of the doorway of the Heichal and 5 on the left side. Imkein Matzinu Shulchan B'Darom. It would turn out that the Shulchan was in the Darom because the Pesach was in the middle of the Heichal. So 5 Shulchanos stood to the left meant they were in the south side of the Heichal. But Vatora Amra, but the Torah says Moshe Rabbeinu told us how the Klei HaMishkan are supposed to work, and it says Vashulchan Titein Al Tzelat Tzafon. The Shulchan is always supposed to be in the Tzafon. That's why the Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Basra, Harotzala Ha'ashir Yatzpin. If a person is interested in praying for wealth, he should face more toward the north, because the Shulchan is the symbol of wealth. So that's supposed to be on the north side, Dafka. So Ella Shal Moshe Be'emtza Chamish Miyamino Chamish Mismolo. When we say 5 to the right, 5 to the left, doesn't mean of the Pesach of the Heichal. It means 5 to the right and 5 to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan. That's all it means. Tanu Rabbanan Asaru Menoros Asa Shlomo. Shlomo Melch also made 10 Menoros. Shenemar, because the Pasuk, and that's again aside from the Menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenemar, because the Pasuk in describing the Mikdash of Shlomo and Divrei Yamim, Vayasas Menoros Hazav Asar Eser Kamishpat. So what does that mean? 5 on the right, 5 on the left. If it means 5 on the right of the Pesach and 5 on the left of the Pesach, like the Pasuk sounds, then it would turn out that the menorah is in the north. But the menorah has to be opposite the Shulchan, which means the menorah has to be Bedarim, and that's why again the Gemara Basra says, Yadrim. If you want Chachma, you face toward the south, because the menorah is the symbol of Chachma. Ella shel Moshe be'emtza, chamishim yimin or chamishim yismala. No, it means Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah was in the middle, 5 to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah, 5 to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. Tari chad mechati b'ayis l'fnim hayu menachim. We have one b'ayis that says that the shulchanos that were in the northern side of the Heichal were only on the west, the western part of the northern side of the Heichal, not at all on the eastern part of the northern side of the Heichal, meaning they were further in. V'tani chada, and we have another b'ayis that says mishlish habayis v'lefnim hayu menachim, not the western half of the Heichal, the western most third of the Heichal. Lo kasha, and it's actually not a stira between the two b'ayisos. They both agree that it was halfway, the western half of the Heichal, not the western third. It's just mar kachash of Beis Kodesh HaKadosh and Ba'ad HaHeichal Umar Lo Kachash Beis Kodesh HaKadosh Ba'ad HaHeichal. The Braisa that says that it was the inner third that they were placed in counts the Shetach of the Kodesh HaKadoshim together with the Heichal. So the Heichal was 40 Amos with Esrim plus 20 Amos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that's a total of 60 Amos. So these Shulchanos were placed in the 20 innermost Amos of the Heichal, which is half of the 40 Amos of the Heichal, which is Mishlish HaBayis V'lefnim, because the shear of the Bayis, the Heichal with the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is 60 Amos. So Me Esrim V'lefnim is one Shlish of the Shishim. And the Braisa that said that that it was Mechatzia Bayis L'fnim just doesn't take into the Cheshbon the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Heichal. It's just the Heichal itself, which is 40 Amos, so 20 Amos is Chatzi V'lifnim. Okay, now we bring a Braisa that talks about the arrangement of the Shulchanos, and we say that the arrangement of the Shulchanos depends on the menorah. Tanu Rabbanan, Mizrach Marav Hayu Menachim. The Shulchanos were running east-west. Divrei Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, Tzafon V'darom. No, they were running north-south. My time. I mean, the Rebbe, why does Rebbe assume east-west? Because Gomer mi menorah. He learns how they would arrange the Shulchanos from how they arranged the menorah. Ma menorah mizrach marav, just like the menorah ran east-west, afhani nami mizrach marav, so the Shulchanos as well. Okay, but a menorah gufa minolan, how do you know that the menorah ran east-west? Midichsiv, because the Pasuk says, b'ner ma'aravi, yaruch oso aron lifnei Hashem. So it's b'losh and yach, that one ner was lifnei Hashem. Mechal dekulu lav lifnei Hashem, implying that the others were not lifnei Hashem. B'yisal kadai from Vidarum, but if you assume that it ran north-south, all of the wicks were the same distance to the Kodesh HaKadashim that was in the west. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, my time, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, why does he think that the Shulchanos were running north-south? Gomer Me'aron, Ma Aron Sofon V'Dorim, Af Hani Nami Sofon V'Dorim. He derives it not from the menorah, but from the Aron. V'Rebbe Nami Ligmar Me'aron. Why doesn't Rebbe want to derive it from the Aron? Because Dan Chutz Michutz. He'd rather compare two things that are both outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Aron's on the inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ve'im Dan Chutz Mipnim. So we're going to compare the Shulchan and the menorah, not the Shulchan and the Aron. Rabbi Elazar B'Shimon Ligmar Me'menorah. Why doesn't Rabbi Elazar B'Shimon learn from the menorah? Amalach Menorah Gufa Tzafon V'Dorim Hab Mancha. He says, I disagree about the menorah. The menorah itself. I think the menorah was also running north south. Eloksiv Yarocha saw Aaron Ubanov. What about the pasuk that told us that there was only that there was one that was closer to the west? The mitzadid luat studi. It means that the middle ner he would lean the wick toward the ma'arav, toward the west. But Einachinami, the actual neros were situated at the same distance from the west, but the wick of the middle one, he would lean toward the west. Titania Mulpne Amanori Iru Shivas Neros, Malamish, Mitsadim Pneum Klapi Nerem Tsai, that they would all face toward the Nerem Tsai. Aminasim Mikan Shem Tsai Meshubach. You see from here that in all Dinei HaTorah, the middle one is always considered the most Meshubach, because you see that it's as if all the other neros are Meshamesh the middle ner. It happens to be the discussion in Poskim, how to arrange the menorah in a Beis HaKnesses, where it should run east-west or north-south, and they say it's Talui in this Machlokas that we have right here. Okay, we'll pick up from there tomorrow, Bez Hashem.